I'm your host, Lee W. Johnson, and welcome to my podcast, where I talk about all things related to magic, witchcraft, demonolatry, and a whole load of other related things. If you would like to find out more about me, get in touch with me, or hire me for a service, please go to my website, leewjohnson.com, or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. A couple of weeks ago I spoke about tolerance and acceptance. So now, today, we're going to talk about those situations where you just have to go, fuck it all. Yep, this is going to be one of those videos. Alright, so there are situations where you can find where that you are approached by somebody who just will not listen to your point of view, and as I said, you accept them for who they are, what they're doing, and the fact that they're just really not going to grow or listen to any other point of view, and you just leave them be. Just go on with your own life and just let them carry on with their life. However, there are going to be situations where they just continue and continue and continue, and it can get to the point of your life being threatened. Now, in situations like this, you have to learn discernment. You have to know how to pick your battles properly, because it's not a case of just throwing yourself in, arms flailing, and fight for your life type of situations, because in some instances, you could literally be fighting for your life. And I'm not exaggerating here. I'll get to that just now. But you do need to pick your battles properly. A lot of people, you know, we talk about being in the closet, and for a lot of people, they are still in the closet. There is no reason whatsoever that you need to come out of the closet. Absolutely no reason. If anybody tells you that you have to come out of the closet to be a witch, they're talking shit. There are situations, there are people who just cannot, because if they did, they would be put through the runner. Their family, their friends, everybody would basically just reject them, and it could get to the point where it gets quite violent. Everybody's situation is different. Just keep that in mind, bear that in mind. So if somebody is in the closet and they need to stay in the closet, for their own safety and their own security, then stay in the fucking closet. However, it seems that we've gotten to the situation and the point where a lot of people have been out of the closet for a long time and need to go back into the closet. This is probably not happening all over America, and there are other countries where it's gotten bad as well, but a lot of people are being targeted and threatened for their beliefs, for what they do. There are other people who can speak out, who are in a situation and a position and a place where they can talk, they can speak out, they can fight for those people who are being targeted. And hopefully those people will do that. But again, pick your battles wisely. Don't just think that just because you are a pagan that you have to fight. There are people who can do it, there are people who cannot do it and should not do it. And the reason for that is that, as I said, their life is literally being threatened. Their life or the lives of their loved ones. And for them to fight, it could kill them. Literally, I'm not being figurative at all. This is literal. Several years ago, a long time ago actually, I remember speaking with somebody in the US. And this is happening now, but it was also happening then. It's just more apparent now. It was a woman who, a single mother, had a 10-year-old son. And she told me that one day a bunch of Christian fundamentalists decided that because she was a witch and a pagan, they were going to teach her a lesson. And they broke into the flat, they raped and beat her, and they took the 10-year-old son, chained him to the back of a truck, and dragged him down the road. And the funny thing is, I saw something recently. It was a South African Facebook group, and there's this impression that people in America have all come out of the closet and they're all celebrating and having festivals. Yes, maybe that was true at one point, but now it's gone bad again. It really has. I have a very good friend in the US who has run a successful business for a while, for some years, and they have been targeted by either A or a group of Christian fundamentalists who decided that this wasn't on and they need to take this person down. Now, when I say this, a lot of us get the impression that when we say oh, take somebody down, it's social media, they just attack them on social media. Sure, they trolled, they attacked on social media, and then they threatened to dox and swat this person. So this person is now fearing for their life and the lives of their family members, literally in a position where they do not feel safe in their own home. If you're not sure what doxing and swatting is, this is something, it's actually a terrorist action, internet terrorism. Doxing is where you gather a person's personal information and you threaten to publish it publicly if they do not take down their website, stop doing what they're doing, take down their Facebook page, their Instagram account, whatever it is. And that information is sensitive information which can actually expose them and get them literally their life threatened. Swatting is when somebody or a group of people contact the police and report a crime that is happening in a particular home. Now, the crime that is reported is usually quite severe. It could be a bomb threat, it could be a hostage situation, it could be a murder that happened. So the police aren't going to kindly knock on the person's door and say, "We got a report. Is this true?" They are literally probably going to smash down the door with guns and come into the house, and they're not going to worry about you saying, standing there going, "What's going on? Nothing's wrong here." So this is almost murder by police. And this is a serious situation, and it's one that's happening. As I said, it's probably not happening all over the place, but there are some concentrated areas where things have gotten extremely bad. And it is all a result of Christian fundamentalists. And the whole patriarchy, really. And I believe the patriarchy is on its death throes. And it's having its last dance, and that is usually quite a violent one. But these things are definitely happening, so don't think that just because you are pagan and you are out of the closet that you can just all of a sudden jump up and down and speak out against these people, because if they have guns, they're going to use them. Okay? It is great that people can jump up and down and speak out, but like I said, you've got to learn discernment, you've got to use discernment, and You've almost got to detach from the situation so that you do not get emotionally involved. You have to detach to the point where you can see the situation for what it is and then make a proper assessment and discern whether it's something you can fight for or not. If you cannot, if it is going to threaten you or your life or your loved ones, then get out of there. I'll repeat. We have spoken about this over many, 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 many years, and quite often it just boils down to you get attacked on the internet. Somebody calls you bad names. That's one side of it. The other side is your life can literally be threatened. So pick your battles wisely. And if you do need to stay in the closet, and even if you need to get back into the closet, do it if it's going to save your life and it's going to keep you safe. Do not take these things lightly. So sure, accept people for who they are. Move on if they do not agree with you. But at the same time, some people can find themselves in a situation where they are being threatened, literally. And in those situations, you need to find help, and proper help. That could be the police. In a lot of instances, it is not, unfortunately. The police are not sympathetic to this type of thing. In a lot of countries, in a lot of areas, they don't care. And that's unfortunate to say, because the police are supposed to be there to protect everybody without discrimination. It's just not the case. So try and seek out people who can help and who can give you advice, proper advice. And it may be legal advice that you need. I know in South Africa we have SAPRA. If you are being discriminated against, if you are being threatened, contact SAPRA. I'm sure Damon will not mind me dropping his name. Damon Leff, he runs with some other people, I believe. He does run SAPRA. So it is a legal. Maybe Damon, I should get Damon on here, he can explain all of this properly. It is a legal body, organization, and it can help you legally if you are in a situation that you need help with. That's South Africa. I don't know about the rest of the world, unfortunately. I don't think there are that many organizations that can help, by the sounds of things. But please stay safe, keep safe, and do whatever the hell you need to do in order to do that. You know, as I said, if people tell you you have to come out of the closet in order to be a real witch, bullshit. You need to keep yourself safe first. Okay. I think I got my point across. So I'm going to stop now. Have a safe and happy new year. Welcome back to Ask Lee Slot, and if you do have questions, just leave them in the comments below to one of these videos and I'll answer them in a future video. And today we are looking at the use of the Kabbalistic tree in demonology and how demons and angels work together. Okay, so as mentioned, you can leave a comment with your question in the comments below, and I'll answer them in a upcoming video. Two questions today. So the first one is from Zamaj. My follow-up question is, why is Kabbalah so fixated on in the demonology community? In my likely uninformed opinion, it seems more closely related to Judaism than any left-hand path. Why would one choose Kabbalah over, say, ordinary chakra meditation and shadow work. Just a personal preference. Just a personal preference thing. Question. Okay, so Kabbalah is focused on a lot within ceremonial magic in general. I think you'll find one of the main reasons for this is because of the exploration, the examination of the cosmos, which was done through the Kabbalistic tree. It's probably one of the best systems for progressing through the spheres, the ethers, such things. If you go in any ceremonial magic direction, whether it be Golden Dawn, Crowley's work, Thelema, etc., etc., even into Wicca, you're going to find a lot of crossover with Kabbalah. And as I said, it's just because of the foundation which is there, which builds on that, on the different spheres, the different worlds of emanation, starting from Ain, which was nothing, the light, limitless lights, then comes in, etc., etc., and then we have Keter, and then it starts to form into more solid spheres as you go down the tree until you get to Malkut, which is existence or earth form, and things like that, our physical world here. And demonolatry does take a very strong ceremonial magic approach. So there is the inclusion of Kabbalah in there. I wouldn't say, Kabbalah does, you know, it's got its roots in Judaism, obviously, but it can be applied to any system. There's a lot of people who take the Tree of Life and they apply it to different systems and they come up with different correspondences and things like that. There's even an extension into Christian magic, and using the Kabbalistic tree there, and, you know, theories of the Morning Star, being the double twin, Christ and Lucifer. And when you get to Da'at, it's the bridge between the worlds and things like that. So there's a lot of crossover in a lot of different approaches, systems, traditions with Kabbalah. Now, when it does come to the Tree of Life itself, in the complete book of demonolatry, I've suddenly gone blank. I think that's what the name of the book's called. Connolly's book, the 101 book. She does actually mention that the Kabbalistic tree originated from the Egyptian system. There is a mention in the hieroglyphs of the different emanations and the different worlds which are ruled over by specific Egyptian gods and goddesses. I haven't really gone into that myself. I've never really ventured down that path of the Egyptian mysteries myself. I seem to be a lot more focused in the European traditional witchcraft type stuff. But there is that mention in Connolly's work, so if you want to go and pursue that a bit more, do so. But yes, really it is part of the ceremonial magic approach, which I find quite interesting, because when you do go into Golden Dawn work and such things, specifically when you get to working with the Goetia and the demonic forces, they do tend to take a rather more Christian approach. They do stick to the Goetia, the instructions in the Goetia and the grimoires, quite specifically. And that is obviously the trapping and binding and threatening type approach. So I think demonolatry has taken that ceremonial approach and changed it in order to appreciate, respect the demonic forces because of their connection with ancient gods and goddesses. depending on which grimoire you're actually working with and which demons you're actually working with. If it is the Goeshu itself, then we're looking at more of the spirits being djinn than gods and goddesses. But I have my own. Everybody has their own theory about that. I have my own theory about that, which I spoke about previously. So I think that's really it. It is just that ceremonial magic base that it is formed on, and because of that, Kabbalah comes along for the show. And that is really just it, I think. All right. So next question. Just get to that one. Is from Sarah. I have a question regarding angels and demons. I've heard that, for example, Angel Michael is not cool with demons whatsoever. Is it possible for a practitioner to work with both angels and demons? Can it cause problems? And do you have to be careful with certain deities not getting along? Okay, so angels and demons can work together. Now, I do think you have to be careful which ones you choose to put together. As an example, if you look into demonolatry, we don't just follow spirits such as the Goetia spirits, which may be considered to be a bit lower. I wouldn't consider them to be lower as in astral parasites, but they are lower than the angelic forms. And because of that, you'll find that they, when you work with them, when you ask for something, there's a more of an immediate response. Whereas with the angelic beings, it's a more of a long-term working. So, coming to financial workings, if you needed something in an emergency, then work with the Goetia spirits, the Jinn, the I don't like calling them lower spirits, but I think you know what I mean. If it's more of a long-term thing, like finances, investments over a year or 10 years or something like that, then you can work with angelic forces. I do find the angelic beings to be more aligned with enlightenment, knowledge, gnosis, education, bringing improvement to you on that basis, whereas the Goetia spirits are more bringing improvement on a more material basis. So we could say the Goetia spirits are material and the angelic beings are more spiritual, if we can put it that way. I have worked with Michael in the past for a specific thing, and it was more immediate results that I needed, and I did get a very snooty answer. He wasn't impressed, wasn't happy with what I was asking for, and just decided that, it's not worth it for him. I did realize a lot later that it was because I was working with the Goetia spirits at the same time and the demons, etc. And if I'd actually listened properly, the message I would have received would have been, why are you asking me for this immediate result when you work with the Goetia spirits and you can get that immediate result? So, depending on the work you're doing, take that into consideration. Now, when we look, coming back to when we look at demonolatry and the spirits we actually work with, we do work with the Goetia spirits, so we have those which are more earth-based, let's put it that way, more material-based. But even within demonology, we have angelic forces. We have Lucifer, we have Azazel, we have the Gregorian, the Watchers that we work with. A lot of people in demonology also work with spirits such as Hecate, Kali, Lilith, all of these higher, I'm going to call them higher beings. Higher and lower, it gets a bit confusing though. But they are more, let's call them ethereal. There we go, ethereal beings. Sounds better. But you'll find that if you work with Lucifer on a specific project, that is going to end up being a long-term project. It's going to be a project about bringing you specific knowledge, for instance, bringing the light onto your path, and that can go over years and years and years. Whereas if you needed specific information very quickly, you may go to a Goetia spirit. Now, do they work well together? Again, this depends. I have called the archangels to in a circle and worked with Goetia spirits. And in fact, if you go into the original grimoires, into the Goetia and Grimoire Verum and such things, their evocations, their calls to the spirits, it all revolves around calling the names of power and the angelic forces. And then calling the demonic spirit itself. So, I think we kind of think that we can't work with both in the same space, but I mean, the evidence is there right at the beginning. If you were going to have a problem working with a demonic force, you wouldn't call those angelic forces to begin with. So, we can work with both of them, and some of them work very well together. But I think what you have to be aware of is, again, which spirits you're actually working with and which spirits you're trying to combine. I mean, this goes into any path, any tradition. You look at an eclectic witch or an eclectic Wiccan, and they don't really give two hoots about what spirits they're calling into their space. So in one direction, they may call a variety of different spirits, and they come from all different pantheons. And these deities and spirits and entities may not like each other, but they just call them in anyway because, that's what you do with eclecticism half the time, is just call in whatever you feel like calling in. And expecting them all to work happily together. They don't. And it's the same with the angels and the demons. I think there is that aspect. I mean, demon, we talk about being a divine intelligence. So that does cover a lot of things. So it's not just these earthbound, more material type of spirits which we're working with. We are working with angelic forces within demonology. So you do get your spirits on all different levels of existence through the three worlds. But if you're going to call Archangel Michael, for instance, to bring in fire and then work with a demonic being which or Goetia spirit which is related to fire, you'll probably find there is a relation there. There is a balance. If you are going to call Archangel Michael to help bring in fire energy, and you're going to work with a water-related spirit, you might find there's a bit of a clash there, because fire and water don't really mix too well. One is hot and dry, the other one is wet and cold. So, you might. It's really that clash of the elements. It's not really the clash of the spirits themselves. But whether it's angelic or demonic, whatever we call them, they're all spirits. There's, no difference. It's the same with people. But as I said, when it comes to the actual spirits themselves, I don't think we should necessarily consider them to be in hierarchies. The archangels are higher than the watchers, are higher than the Goetia spirits. It's not really a power play that happens, but there is that possibility of a clash if you take two spirits which are opposed, just with anything else. All right. Think that answers your questions today. As always, if I have not thoroughly answered your question, then just ask again in the comments and we'll have a look at it more in depth. If you do have any other questions, leave them in the comments and I will put them on the list to add to a future video. Right, so have a good one for now and I'll see you next week. Hail Lady Lucifer and Mama Satan. Cheers for now. Bye bye. This podcast was brought to you by, well, myself, Lee W. Johnson. To find out more about me, please visit my website at leewjohnson.com or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. If you like the video format, then subscribe to my YouTube channel, where I also host a live show every Friday with Rev Kai called The Black Hat Chat. It's just two witches chatting about traditional witchcraft and other topics. That's me for this week. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening.